You're listening to Morning Edition on WPSU. I'm Bob Barton. Parents of children with autism spectrum disorder face a maze of choices. How do they know which interventions will best serve their child? WPSU's Patty Satalia talks with Dr. James Copeland, author of Making Sense of Autistic Spectrum Disorders. It's been called an indispensable guidebook for caregivers of children on the autistic spectrum.
You come to autistic spectrum disorder with a unique background. You have expertise in three medical specialties, pediatrics, child neurology, and child psychiatry, and you have the added perspective of having grown up with a younger sister with a learning disability. Tell us about your new book, why you wrote it, and how you hope people will use it.
I wrote it because when parents get a diagnosis of autistic spectrum disorder, they really undergo two reactions. The first is a sense of shock and grief and sadness that their child has a disability. Less obvious, I think, but equally important is the fact that parents all of a sudden lose their sense of competence that they know what to do for their own child. All of a sudden, a whole parade of experts of various kinds are coming into their lives, telling them what to do, and if they don't do it this way or that way, then doom awaits their child. So parents really feel quite at sea because not only don't they know exactly what's best, the experts don't seem to be agreeing. So I wrote this book as a navigation guide for parents not knowing which way to turn.
Your book introduces a 3D model, a roadmap to chart a child's progress over time, and also a framework for making decisions about the most appropriate therapies that a parent might want to consider at each stage of their child's development. Explain this 3D approach.
If we go all the way back to Leo Kanner's initial paper from 1943, he made it very clear that children with autistic spectrum disorder, in those days he called it autism, change over time, and they gradually improve over time. They're not frozen in a block of ice. Their symptoms evolve from point to point. A lot of the diagnostic scales and diagnostic manuals are simply a thumbs up or thumbs down. Does he have it or doesn't he have it? But they don't give us a way of seeing the child over time. So what I've done is to combine three elements. First is the degree of atypicality, and second is the level of intelligence, and third is age, into a 3D graph so you can actually chart the course of a child's progress over time. The first thing is, how impaired is the child in terms of the autistic features? How impaired is the eye contact? How impaired are the social skills? How delayed is the language? Separately from atypicality, we need to think about IQ, and you can think about this like a train that could be on time, delayed, or ahead of schedule, and then the atypicality consists of how many wheels are off the track, one or two, or several. So we put those two on a graph, and then we add time as the third dimension. And the way that I explain this to parents is, think about the atypicality as being like a chunk of ice floating in the water. Now, think of the IQ as being like the water temperature. The warmer the water, the faster the ice is going to melt over time. So the prognosis, in other words, the future outlook for two children who may start out with the same expression of autistic spectrum disorder is going to vary tremendously depending upon what their IQ is. We need to look at those three things together to chart the child's future progress and to anticipate the child's future needs.
Speaking of evaluation, you look at the child, you look at the system, and you look at the family. Explain why that's so important.
The family is the launching pad for the child. Somebody once said that parents give their children roots and wings, and nowhere is that more true than for a child with special needs. The child's sense of competence and self-confidence and the child's willingness to get up to the plate and take a cut at the ball really depends upon the parent's ability to instill those attitudes in the child. And it's also true that children with special needs can sometimes present with behavioral issues, such as tantrums, noncompliance, and the parents need to be united, steadfast, and supportive of one another in order to avert, prevent such things from occurring.
You question in your book the popular autism-gluten connection, for example, but you also say that it's important to keep an open mind. You write, occasionally, established wisdom is wrong and the revolutionary is right. Give us some tips on how parents can protect their child in their pocketbook, I guess is what I'm asking.
The first thing that I would tell parents is follow the money. In other words, who else other than the people who have already spent a lot of money on this therapy for their own child, or the people who are making a living selling this therapy, are promoting it. And if there's nobody other than those two groups of people standing up in favor of a therapy, that's a big red flag. The second thing is, show me the beef. In other words, where are the data? Show me the proof. And what you often see is heartwarming testimonials or hair-curling accusations that my child was fine until such and such happened to him, but without a lot of data to back it up. So those are the two things that I would say. Don't be swayed by testimonials, and follow the money to ask yourself who else, other than the people who are exchanging money around this therapy, are really promoting it.
The more parents understand, the better advocates they will be for their children. What one thing, I'd like to end with this, what one thing would you encourage parents to do today to improve the long-term outcome for their child with ASD?
Become an informed consumer. Read, form your own opinions based on the reading, and remember two things. First, as Jack Kennedy said years ago, sincerity is always subject to proof. He was talking about negotiating a treaty with the Russians, but in this case, I would say, just because somebody makes a heartfelt statement on the web that such and such caused or cured their child's autism, don't believe it without the data. And that's the second thing. Put your faith in science. In the long run, science is what got us to where we are today in terms of our ability to cure infectious disease. And science is what's going to lead us away from the ignorance and fear-mongering that we have today to a more secure future.
All right. Thank you so much for talking with us.
It's been a great pleasure.
Dr. James Copeland holds a rare triple board certification in pediatrics, neurodevelopmental disabilities, and developmental and behavioral pediatrics. He's in private practice in Rosemont, Pennsylvania. I'm Patty Satalia, WPSU.
For information about Dr. James Copeland and his book, Making Sense of Autistic Spectrum Disorders, check the links at our website, wpsu.org.